All right.
Yep, you are good to go.
Great. Good evening. I'd like to call the Lower Frederick Township Board of Supervisors General Meeting to order. Today's date is March 2nd, 2021. The time is 7:01 approximately. First order of business, Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation
under God,
indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
Let the record reflect that all board members are present at tonight's meetings, as well as all staff that are listed on tonight's agenda are also present. Our announcements are our standard announcements, and I will read them now. Our township meetings are recorded for the purpose of preparing the minutes, and the recording is destroyed 6 months after the minutes are approved. This meeting is will also be recorded by the teleconference provider, which in our case is Zoom. It's requested that all persons wishing to speak before the board shall state their name, address, and the subject matter upon which they wish to speak for the record. In the interest of facilitating the business of the board, all persons addressing the board shall be limited to 2 minutes unless such time is extended by the chair for good cause. The Board of Supervisors will provide a reasonable opportunity for citizens to comment on any non-agenda items after all agenda items have been addressed, but prior to the adjournment of the public meeting. Meeting attendees will be able to ask questions at specific times during the meeting through our Zoom chat feature or by sending email to our township manager, Mark Hudson. And Mark's email address is manager@lowerfrederick.org. You can also call the Lower Frederick Township office number, and that will ring through to Mark's cell phone. I guess the first item up is the Zieglerville home heating oil release and update.
Okay, there's no further information from what we had last week. DEP was out with a contractor and did an assessment of the property where they took samples, ground and water, soil and water samples, and they removed debris from the home and found the two tanks that were in the basement and took samples from there also. And the tanks pretty much don't have any material in them at this time. So they're expecting probably in a month or so, we should get results from the samples.
Okay. Are there any questions for our manager on the home heating oil release update? Hearing none, we'll move on. Under administrative actions, our first action for tonight is the approval of the minutes. We have two sets of minutes to approve. One is from a workshop meeting that occurred on January 26, 2021, and the other is from a general meeting on February the 2nd, 2021. If it's all right with the board, I'd like to just do one motion for both of them.
Yes, I just had one question before we vote. Mark, I had a question. I think it's the February 2nd where we actually voted twice, because we had to vote specifically for the resolution. How should we address that officially in the minutes?
I put it in there that we voted initially for the amount of money that we were going to put in the resolution, and then that the second vote is to approve the actual resolution.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions before we move forward? Great. Can I get a motion for approval of our minutes from our January 26th and February 2nd, 2021 meetings?
So moved.
Noelle Halter makes the motion. Second. Chuck Geiser will second. Any further discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes from our January 26th and February 2nd meetings, say aye.
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 Any against? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Next item up is for administration. Administrative actions is our treasurer report. Treasurer's report. Our manager will make that report.
Yes, thank you. The cash balance in the general fund as of February 28th is $1,612,020. The cash balance in the sewer fund as of February 28th is $509,036. The list of checks that is before you in the general fund total $53,237.64. The list of checks in the sewer fund total $30,191.22. And the list of checks in the liquid fuels total $5,974.38. During the month in the finance, the treasurers collected information and sent it to the township auditor to begin the audit. Worked with PennDOT on the 2020 liquid fuels pre-audit. Reinvested CDs as they matured. Stored 2020 original accounting records to be held for the time as required. And looked into refinance options for the sewer debt.
Great. Thank you, Mark. Are there any questions for our township manager on the report? All right. So we need a motion for approving the payment of the list of checks in the general fund as well as in the sewer fund.
Also move.
Marla Hexter makes the motion. And second?
I'll second. Dan Orff.
Dan Orff seconds. Any further discussion? Great. All those in favor of approving payment for the list of checks read by our township manager or totaled by our township manager in the general fund and the sewer fund, say aye.
Chuck, I'm sorry.
And the liquid fuels fund.
Sorry, Chuck. And the liquid fuels fund.
Okay.
Terry, did you want to say something?
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Or Dan beat you to it?
He did.
Okay. All right. So, all those in favor of approving the list of checks in the general fund, the sewer fund, as well as the liquid fuels fund, say aye.
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 Aye. Any against? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Dan.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Terry.
And Terry. Okay, that brings us to public comment on agenda items for tonight's meeting. Nothing, Mark.
Not seeing anything.
Okay. There will be an opportunity at the end of the meeting under public comment for people to bring up their concerns as well. First report tonight is our township engineer's report.
Thank you, Chairman Yizer. I have two items on my report this evening. One would be appropriate for action by this board, and the other is just informational. The first item is the equipment bid for 2021. The equipment bid is something that's issued annually by the township for equipment and labor that supports the Public Works Department in maintaining the township infrastructure. The current contract expires at the end of March, March 26th to be exact. Three bids were received and opened on February 23rd for this year's equipment bid. We reviewed those bids and we are recommending the Board of Supervisors consider award to Sachs and Sons of Ziegler-Ville as the lowest and lowest responsible bidder. Following award, the successful bidder will be asked to provide a performance bond and proof of insurance to township officials before the contract form MS-970 is signed by township officials. The other item on my report is just an update on the Swamp Creek Road culvert. The road culvert replacement project was advertised and posted on PennBid in the middle of February. The bids for that project are due on March 25th. This is a project that is funded by a low-volume road grant administered through the Montgomery County Conservation District. The existing culvert in this location of Swamp Creek Road is too small to convey storms under the road, so it's to be replaced with a larger box-type culvert. So we're expecting to report on bid results and provide recommendation for award in advance of the April meeting of the Board of Supervisors. Be happy to answer any questions on either matter.
Any questions for our township engineer on the on tonight's report?
Carol, I'm just curious, what was the difference in bid between the lowest bid and the second lowest bid?
The lowest bid cumulative price was $83,900. The next bid was for $95,710.
Thank you.
And if I'm not right, the third bid was almost twice the amount of the winning bid.
Yes, sir, that is correct. And they did not include all the line items.
Right. Any other questions for our engineer? So we need to make a motion to approve, to award the 2021 equipment bid to Saxon Sons. Anybody like to make that motion, or I'll make it?
I'll move to award the 2021 equipment bid to Saxon Sons from Ziegleville, PA, in the amount of $83,900.
I'll second that.
So Dan Orff makes the motion. Noelle Halter seconds. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of awarding the equipment 2021 equipment bid as stated by Supervisor Orff, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any against? The motion carries unanimously. Great. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Our next township staff report is Chief Maxey.
Thank you, sir. During the month of February, the police department responded to 163 calls for service. All of the police department has now received both vaccines required by the CDC for COVID-19. So we're feeling very happy about that. And I also tonight wanted to give an update to the board on the hiring process. As the board was aware, we started with 75 odd applicants and we went through a structured interview process, which was conducted by Corporal Dave Milligan and Steve Rinker, who are both experienced interviewers in police hiring matters. They whittled it down to roughly six candidates that really stood out and were significant based on how they answered questions, their backgrounds, and their resumes. And out of the six candidates, Township Manager Mark Hudson and I conducted personal interviews, in-person interviews with those six candidates. All of which were outstanding. We selected two finalists to move on to background investigation. And as of tonight, two of the applicants have been through polygraph examinations. They both passed without any issues, as we suspected that they would. And they've moved into the physical background stage, which is being conducted. Corporal Milligan is conducting one of the investigations and I am conducting the second investigation. So we're moving ahead at a pretty good pace. Obviously, we've had some bad weather and we've had some other things going on. So we've had to jostle around schedules to make this happen. But I just want to thank Mark Hudson for taking the time to interview these six candidates with me, because it's time out of his day, too. And I think we found that to be most uplifting. And that concludes my report for tonight.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Sounds exciting. Have we have any questions for Chief Maxey? So tentatively, we're still on the time frame that you had given us a few months ago in terms of hiring.
I feel very confident about that. Yes.
Great. All right. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
That brings us to the roads and park report. I guess, Mark, you'll be doing that for the crew.
Yep. All right. So during the month of February, the crew completed 3 sump pump inspections. We had 5 plow events, 3 salt events. We received salt, and once they dump the salt, the guys have to stack that, and then they also have to haul in anti-skid and mix the material to produce what we put down on the roads. So they worked on that quite a bit this month. Replaced a pump in the sludge holding tank at the sewer plant, and began working on the line painting bid for this year.
Thank you, Mark. Are there any questions for our manager on the roads and park report that he just gave?
I don't have a question. I just want to request that we call it public works rather than roads and parks, since that could cause some confusion with our park board. So I think public works is.
Yeah, I agree. That's why.
What we usually call them. I don't know how that got in there, but I think we just should call it public works or something closer to that.
Yeah, I agree. That's why, actually, after I read it, I said road crew.
Whatever, something like that. But I think we need to take the park part out of it and, call it road crew or public works or, but not again.
It used to be public works. If that's acceptable to the group, can we go back to that?
Sure.
Yep.
Public works works. Public works works for me. They're good. They're to be commended this past go round for all the snow events and salt events they had, Mark. That doesn't go without being recognized by a lot of the citizens. So,
especially the last one.
Yep. So that brings us to Township Manager report. That would be Mark.
Okay, so the volunteer firefighters tax relief. Every year we give the volunteer firefighters an opportunity if they reach certain goals, number of events that they go to, training that they go to, and fundraising. If they reach all of those goals, then they have tax relief from the year. So for 2020, there was 11 firefighters that served our community and qualified for the tax relief program. The board just needs to make a motion to approve that list that was given to us by the fire chief.
Great.
Also move.
Arla Hexter makes the motion.
I'll second.
And Noel Halter seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor of authorizing the 2020. It says 2020, Mark, but is it 2020 or 2021?
It's the 2020. They had to
for reach the tax,
these things. Yeah.
For the tax year 2020, yeah.
Yes.
Authorize the 2020 Lower Frederick Volunteer Fireman Tax Credit for those volunteer firemen who meet the requirements as put forth by the township. All in favor of authorizing that, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any against? Motion carries unanimously. Great, thank you. I mean, that also shows that we have people who are really spending a lot of time volunteering too, right?
They put a lot of hours in.
Yeah, so thank you, volunteers. Okay, Mark.
Okay, so the sewer fund, the debt, looking to look at refinancing that again. In 2020, in the spring of 2020, we did a rate reduction with our current bank, but it's been shown some other townships recently have made out very well by doing refinancing using a professional finance consultant. They've been getting fixed rates for the life of the loan, and they've also been getting rates under 2. So I'd like to propose hiring Daryl Peck, Concord Financial, again, to put together the program and submit it out an RFP to the banks. We would hire our own bond counsel to work with Concord, and then they would also work with Peter Nelson. If we don't go with any of the options that they end up getting for us, then we don't pay them. So I want to give them the opportunity to look at refinancing the debt for the sewer fund.
Mark, what would the potential time frame look like for this from beginning to end?
We'd probably move pretty quickly. I would think we'd try to get it finished by the May meeting.
Okay. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
That'd be great.
That's good.
Unfortunately, rates are creeping up a little bit right now. So we're going to hopefully, when we talk to them, you know, see if they see that they're going to, if they think they're going to come back down. But that's why I want to hire a professional financial consultant to help us with that.
So what you need then, we need to sign like a letter of engagement or something.
Correct. So, yep.
All right. So you're asking us to vote on signing this letter of engagement, right?
Yeah, I just need to sign. I just need the approval. I just want the board to approve us entering into engaging Concord Financial.
Okay. Anyone? Yeah. Any further questions before we move forward? Or Peter, were you about to say something?
I was just going to say we just need a motion to authorize either Mark or you, Mr. Chairman, to sign the letter.
Before we do that, are there any further questions or discussion from the board? All right.
I was saying, I haven't been through this twice before recently, so I think we're all becoming experts in this.
Okay. So I'll make the motion that Chuck Yizer makes the motion of signing a letter of engagement with Concord Financial, is it? To investigate the refinancing for our current sewer debt.
I'll second that.
Chuck Yizer makes the motion. Noel Halter seconds. Any further discussion? All in favor of signing a letter of engagement that I just described, say aye.
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 Any against? Motion carries unanimously. Great.
That's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Mark. That brings us to solicitor's report. Peter Nelson.
Yes, we have one item on the agenda for the solicitor's report. But before we get to that, I just want to announce we do have a conditional use hearing advertised for this Thursday night, March 4th at 7 p.m. And as we are continuing our string of these, the applicant has requested actually a continuance of that hearing. So right now we are looking to continue that hearing until Thursday, May 10th. I believe that's the right date, at 7 p.m. Once again, we'll Monday. Be opening up. Sorry?
That's Monday. A Monday. That's
Monday. Sorry. Yes. Monday, May 10th. And so we will once again probably just announce that on Thursday night, and then the hearing will actually open the hearing for real on May 10th. And in that regard, also just to let the board know, I think I might have a conflict that night. I need to cover someone else's meeting. So I believe Colby will be the one actually making that announcement, Mr. Grimm, in my place.
This is for this Thursday.
Yeah, this is for this Thursday. I will be available on May 10th, obviously. With that out of the way, what we have before you on the agenda is a telecommunications ordinance. I've looked at the township's zoning ordinance regarding telecommunications, and I believe it's kind of woefully behind the times. Over the last 10 years, the state and federal governments have adopted several new requirements regarding telecommunications. These requirements place limitations on what townships can and cannot require permits for, how quickly we have to review applications, how much we can charge for reviewing applications, and penalties upon townships if we don't comply with the state and federal regulations. The most recent of these regulations was put out by about six months ago regarding a new type of telecommunications equipment called small wireless facilities. At the direction of the board, I prepared an ordinance that would address the shortcomings in the current zoning ordinance to bring the current ordinance up to date with these new state and federal regulations. Also provide the township with a little more control and oversight, well, as much as we can have on telecommunications, and you know, basically ensure that the township's ordinance does not actually violate some of these new state and federal regulations. The ordinance has been sent off to the Township Planning Commission and the County Planning Commission. Both planning commissions issued review, generally supporting this application. And so tonight, I guess we, I and the staff are looking for authorization to advertise this ordinance for possible adoption at your most likely, maybe April, but most likely late April or early May meeting.
Yeah, Peter, this is Dan Orff. I did have one question. I reviewed the information and everything looks fine. It alludes to the township's list of historical properties.
Yes.
But there doesn't, I was unable, maybe it exists, I was unable to find it attached as an appendix or anywhere in any of the supporting materials. So I did send a request to, I know I saw an Excel spreadsheet, but there's nothing that is like a document attached to the ordinance that says appendix, Lower Frederick Township. It's actually highlighted in green, the place where it's referenced in the manual. But
right, yes. Yeah, I don't believe, I could be wrong, but I don't believe it's referenced in the actual ordinance, correct?
It's not referenced in the ordinance. The only place it's referenced, as you said, is in the manual. And there's a term that was given to it. I don't have it right in front of me. I think it says Lower Frederick's Historic Registry of Houses,
yeah,
or something like that.
It's called the Lower Frederick Historic Register.
Right.
I guess, you know, since we have a national register, this is our township historic register.
But there should be, I know there's a, like I said, I know there's a spreadsheet that lists the houses that were constructed prior to 1949 or something, but along with their locations. But one would think this would be like an appendix to this, to the manual or something, or
Dan, it was, we need to get that list up to date and cleaned up, and then it would just be on the website and it would be referenced, and then people would go find it, or we would provide it.
Okay. I just, yeah, I just went to, yeah, go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, it does not, we certainly can add it as a, as you say, appendix to the design standards, but you know, once we name this list, and we don't have to name it the Township Historic Register. You know, I've seen townships call them like historic surveys or whatever you want to call it. Once it has a proper accepted name that we call it, it's fine just leaving it as it is. But if the board wants to make it an appendix or an exhibit to these guidelines, we certainly can do that.
No, what you're saying, I just wanted to make sure that it was somewhere, the current, we should have a current version that we're referring to, and by a name that can be found in our.
And I think we're, you know, by the time this gets enacted, you know, we will have that. And
okay,
the nice thing about the design standards, and one of the reasons why the board wanted to do them, is the design standards we can adjust by resolution. We don't have to go through the whole ordinance adoption. And so if we need to tweak that term, Township Historic Register, to say something else, we certainly can do that.
That, yeah, as long as what we're doing is identifiable and so forth, I'm fine. I was just, you know, I saw the term that was used and I was looking for an associated document, even though I know there was the spreadsheet. So that's okay. As long as what we're doing is okay, we're good.
Yes. I'm comfortable with it. Yes.
Okay.
Just have a question on follow-up to what Dan said then. So at some point we will officially adopt this list, right? I assume?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the list is in existence. Mm-hmm. And I think I think it would be appropriate for the board to officially adopt it as the Township Historic Register or whatever you want to call it, and put it in a format that's maybe a little more usable. But those are all things, you know, we can do them now, we can do them later. But, you know, we can still move forward with this ordinance while those things are still in process.
Okay, that was the bulk of my question, right at what you said at the very end, Peter.
Okay.
I just have one tiny process question. Once we advertise this, is it at all binding or do we have to finally adopt it?
Well, what we're advertising is the actual hearing at which you're going to consider adopting it. It's not until it actually is enacted and actually under the second class township code it's not effective until 5 days after enactment. It's not law. It's not until you enact it and then 5 days have passed that it actually becomes law.
And is it 30 days to advertise?
No, it's 30 days to provide to the two planning commissions, which we've already done.
Right.
We have to advertise it twice for two successive weeks. The last advertisement occurring at least 7 days before the hearing date. Since the board doesn't normally do things at their workshop, I would anticipate this would be advertised for your first April meeting.
Great. Thank you.
So this does need to go through regional planning too then?
No, it's already been to the County Planning Commission and the Township Planning Commission. Those are the two we are legally required to provide it to.
All right, but just as a, we've always done, whenever anybody's made a zoning change, we have informed our regional planning partners. And, you know.
And we certainly can do that. Okay. It's something we can do while we're advertising it.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they are kind of aware of it, Chuck. We talked about this 6 months ago.
We generally take a vote on it. It's, you know, consistent with the regional, you know, those kinds of things. So.
Yeah, we can send that out tomorrow, Chuck.
Yeah, send it to Jamie.
Yep.
Okay, so what we need now, unless there are more questions, we need a motion to instruct Mark and Peter to advertise the telecommunications ordinance.
Also move.
Marla Hexter makes the motion. You get a second. Noel Halter seconds. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none.
You just said it's about time. That's my further discussion.
Okay. You know, yeah.
Hearing none. All in favor of advertising the hearing, I guess, right, for the adoption of the telecommunications ordinance, say aye.
Aye. Advertising the ordinance.
Right.
Not advertising the hearing. Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, that is my report. Thank you.
Yep. Well, hold on. I need to finish. Any against? Okay, all in favor say aye. We all said aye. We said against. The motion carries unanimously. Sorry, Peter.
That's quite all right. I jumped the gun.
Doesn't take much to throw me off.
Aye.
So we'd be looking at having that perhaps in May.
April.
No, April. It would be your April meeting, which I think is the 6th.
Okay.
Yes, April, Tuesday, April 6th will be when you'll be considering it for adoption.
Okay. Great. Any further questions for our solicitor before we move on? Hearing none, that brings us to reports from township boards and commissions. We'll start with Planning Commission. I think I saw Crystal on tonight's meeting.
Yes. Hello. I was not at the last Planning Commission meeting. It was a very short meeting. They discussed the telecommunications ordinance, which they gave their recommendation for approval, and had a conversation about generally the pros and cons of a fee in lieu of for certain types of requirements. And I think it was suggested that some of those fee in lieu of conditions, particularly for open space recreational fields, possibly be moved from the zoning ordinance to the subdivision and land development ordinance. At least that was part of the conversation. So that there's flexibility for the board in terms of accepting fee in lieu of those large pieces of open space, rather than having developers build recreation fields where maybe they aren't necessarily needed. So it was a short meeting, and that was all they discussed. I'll answer any questions if I can.
Any questions for Crystal? Don't hear any. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
You want to do the comp plan report too?
Sure.
So, go ahead.
We can do it together. What I missed, you can fill in. The updates have been made to the township's comprehensive plan website, so that all of the documents that are there now are the most current drafts of all those chapters. So thank you to Chuck for getting those posted, and for John Miklos for getting those all to us. The conversation now is kind of centered around how do we have some type of a public meeting to share the final draft of the comprehensive plan with the public and get feedback. Certainly Zoom is one way to do it, but we are certainly open to other ideas. Some other municipalities are going through the same situation. Some are doing Zoom open houses. Some are doing combinations of other things as well. So that conversation has not been concluded yet. We're still not sure how we're going to proceed with doing the last public airing of the comp plan.
Great. There are any questions for Crystal on the comprehensive plan? The only thing I'll add is we are still missing one chapter, which is the community profile chapter. A lot of that is, I don't want to say boilerplate, but it's stuff that exists, tells us about ourselves. And I believe, according to our planner, we should be discussing that chapter in his draft of it at our next meeting, I think is what he indicated to me. So once that's done, then that's it. All of, you know, I think Terry, you had asked me about chapter 4, and chapter 4 is up there now. So what it was is we actually had, originally we had transportation and infrastructure combined, and they got split. So that was the missing chapter that you'd asked about at our last work session meeting. So anyway, please read them. We welcome feedback. Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Okay, next report would be from Park and Rec. It would be Pam Reich.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. We officially welcomed our new member, Noah Phillips, last night at our meeting. The board voted and approved booking Tokanee Creek as our for our concert in the park on August 12th with a rain date of August 18th. We're going to try to do a trial run of the first time concert in Cuddy Park this time. We all had also screened Large Flower Heads as a secondary group, and we may try to do a second concert this year, but that still, we're not going to do that right now. We also voted and approved final brochure for the tree donation program. So we'll be I'll be talking to Mark soon about setting that up. We discussed distribution and advertising of that program. I'll be creating a draft update piece on the program for distribution and also to explain what we're doing and also an update on Village Center Park. I had done a piece earlier when we're going to remove the trees because of the ash borer, and I think we're due to explain to people as they see trees going in there and also when they see the maintenance reduction activities, which is removal of a lot of the dead plant material and clearing out the circle, we can explain and give people what's going on there. And we also talked about creating a folded brochure to be distributed out through the neighborhood to increase the distribution of the program. We're going ahead with tentatively planning the Fall Fest at Foy in October. Obviously, that's dependent on where the world is at with the COVID, but we are tentatively going ahead and planning and booking our features there. The Park Board and the EAC are collaborating on a possible ecology-related activity during that event. So we're looking forward to that, and hopefully we can actually do it this year. As part of our educational outreach, we're beginning work on the interpretive panels. In our budget for this year, we had looked at interpretive panels for the pollinator gardens at Village Center Park, the rain garden, and also the meadow at Cuddy. We're going to start with one and, you know, work through that to work out any kinks. So we're going to start with the Village Center Park panel. We reviewed some examples as well as some commercially available panels that will allow us to customize the content, and we're looking at that. Board members have been assigned to as homework this month to review the available formats and content and to recommend any customization changes we might want to add to those panels to represent what we want to put on our panels for the pollinator gardens. We also are developing a list of topics and resources that will be attached to that panel through QR code when we put it up. The Perkiomen and Watershed Conservancy contacted. They are having their next cleanup Saturday, April 20th. We are looking for cleanup sites. Ruth Heil had volunteered one site of old tires off Swamp Creek Road. If anyone else knows of any other spots that need to be cleaned up within the township, please let me know and I'll let Jesse know and we'll put it on the list. We also voted to repair and move one of the picnic tables from Foy Park to the Village Center Park pad. We have a concrete pad poured there. And then we can, without a lot of cost, observe usage and see if, you know, a table there is a useful addition to that park. We thought that was the best approach. And with Mark's help, that's a real good way to go. And with Marla's help in clarification, we asked for volunteers for the Open Space Committee. Warren volunteered. He wants to be part of that. He's also in the EAC, so I'm not sure which committee he would represent, but at this point in time, he's the only volunteer from Park Board. And that's all I have. Any questions?
I have a question, but it's actually for Mark. Mark, Pam said that they were having trouble finding that application for the Open Space Committee. Is that, where is that? And is it?
It's on the boards and commissions page of the website.
Okay.
So if you click on boards and commissions, it's right there at the top.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. And just it's Saturday, April 10th will be the cleanup date.
Right.
Not the 20th.
Okay.
Yeah, and Pam, I know I got the name of this wrong, but I think the Perkiomen Watershed organization has started up, I think it's spot trash. If you spot trash or something thrown into the creek, they have I think it's an app by which you can notify them. I got the name of it wrong, but
that's correct. Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's something that maybe we want to put that on the township's website or just make people more aware of it. So if you see somebody, I mean, a couple of years ago, I saw somebody throw one of those old TVs into the Perkiomen off of the the Hendricks Road Bridge. And it would have been nice to know who. Took me about a week to figure out who to call.
Okay.
So thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Good idea. No problem.
Sorry, Mark, just to back to my original question, can you put some kind of a pointer or something on the website to make it easier for people to find that application? It may not be obvious to people where it is.
Yeah, I was actually just looking at it while Pam was talking. You've done it, Mark, in the past. You've done that announcement, you know, looking for volunteers, and you have that nice graphic.
Okay.
All right. You know, something like that, and that would take you to where the form is, or just take you directly to the form.
Okay.
And then, did that go out on Facebook yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Okay, we'll put it on the homepage.
Any questions for Pam? Pam, I don't hear any. Thank you very much. You've got Thank a lot you. Going on.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We're all looking for that snow to melt or finish. Thank you. That brings us to Environmental Advisory Council. It'll be Ruth.
Hi, logged off.
Hello, everybody. The EAC met virtually for our last meeting of a long and dark winter on February 22nd. Warren Jacobs was elected vice chair. Diane Urin and John DeMedio introduced themselves, and they have accepted the challenge of trying to get up to speed on the projects we've already got started. So we had a good meeting getting to know them. Comments to the Genterra sketch plan were documented, approved, and forwarded to the supervisors through Mark. We adjusted our working groups to make way for Diane and John. Pam, as you just heard, was present, and we talked about Fall Fest. And lastly, we were supposed to meet with Peter Nelson, but that was postponed until March, so we will be talking with him at our next meeting, with two topics on the agenda, the sump pump and below grade structure ordinance and tree protection. And that is all I have.
Any questions for Ruth? Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome.
Sorry, just going, well, this is kind of for Pam back with the Park Board report, a question from Gail Gosner from Gerloff Road. Yes. Please explain what is meant by clearing out the roundabout. There's a bunch of dead shrubbery. Unfortunately, this summer, all of the shrubbery in that circle died. It was like 1 week. Pam and Janet were out there, and we don't know. We must have got a bug or something, but all of a sudden, all the shrubbery died in there. So we need to go in there and take out all the shrubbery. We won't be taking out the trees. We're probably going to take out the couple little scrub cedar trees that did grow, but the other trees will be left. But unfortunately, all the shrubbery in there died.
Mark, could you take the EAC's letter for Gentera and just drop that in the Dropbox folder so we have it all together.
Yep.
That would be great. And any other review, any other letters we've gotten from Planning Commission too.
Yep.
Otherwise I lose track of stuff. I don't want to
do that. Not a problem.
Okay, that brings us to new business.
New business, the chief is looking to ask the board to purchase body cameras. So I'll let him.
Thank you, Mark. what I would like to request to the board tonight is that we move forward on our body camera program. And this is something that I've been working on since last year. And with Mark's help, we were able to incorporate this into the budget from a financial perspective. But I spent a lot of time looking at different vendors and different options. And one of the most significant issues that a small police department runs into is the data storage and how that actually will take place. Because anything that involves manpower or becomes manpower intensive takes away from our mission to be out on the street and to be able to provide assistance to the community. I've arrived at the, and what I'm recommending to the board is that we move forward with a company called Provision Video Systems. And they make a product that is very much user-friendly. It is highly endorsed by various law enforcement agencies, federal, state, and local around the country. It meets DOJ standards. And it comes with a cloud-based storage system referred to as SecureMax. And basically, we will be able to upload to the cloud, and ultimately, they will be responsible for kind of handling the data. And that's the significant issues that we would run into, because ultimately larger police departments have somebody that is responsible for this and they do it all day long. We don't have that luxury. So we needed to find a system that would be the most user friendly for us. In terms of the financials, the cost of the project for 2021 is going to roughly be about $6,155. $3,575 would be the equipment to actually purchase the body cameras. That would be a body camera for each officer. And then roughly about $2,580 for the cloud-based storage. This is paid yearly, and it's based on the units that we have. That's how that figure was arrived at. The equipment would include the body cameras and some additional pieces of equipment and charging capabilities for this. The other thing that I want to let the board know is that I have developed a policy, because obviously all this needs to be covered, including the retention, how long we will keep the equipment, the requirements of the officers to utilize the body cameras and to have them activated basically during any interactions that are appropriate and identified within the policy. And all of this refers back to transparency with the police department to the public, especially the citizens of Lower Frederick, and to be in compliance with safe policing, which was an executive order that came down through the president. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions. This is pretty technical, so you're going to have to bear with me. I certainly will try, and if there's a question that I can't specifically answer, I can certainly get you an answer. But as I said, ultimately, I feel that from a cost analysis perspective, as well as what this particular capabilities of this are for us, this would really be my recommendation.
Sheriff Maxey, this is Dan Werf. I just have a question related to the uploading to the cloud. Is that done? Does that require the officer to take an action, or is it done in an automated fashion?
This is going to be, it's going to be an automated fashion when the officers return to the station. And once again, this is the integrity, Dan, that I really like about this is that the less moving parts that we have and the ability to ultimately have that data be secure and accessible if we need to review something or we need it for court, whatever the case may be. But that ultimately was my goal with this. I really didn't want a lot of hands-on and certainly not hands-on, nothing taking anything away from our officers. We have officers with wonderful integrity, but in order to produce this level of transparency that really we're being called upon to do in this country right now, this is what is necessary.
Sounds great. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Chief, so my understanding is then the officer comes back in to the station and takes the camera and puts it in some sort of dock and then it just uploads.
That's correct. And it'll be an automatic process. And obviously as an administrator of the department, I'll have access to being able to review. And part of our policy is going to be random reviewing. And the officers are going to be informed of this, that I will take snippets and random dates. It won't be done with any targeting desire, just simply to see how these interactions are taking place with our citizens here or people that come through Lower Frederick. And we will be reviewing it for not only things such as courtesy and conduct, but also policies and correctness of information that is being exchanged. Likewise, this does become a valuable tool for us for evidentiary purposes, because these cameras will capture the interactions between the public. And, you know, we're lucky that we have a nice community, but at times we can encounter people that are not going to be necessarily cooperative. And it's good to have a completely non-biased record of that interaction.
Okay.
And Paul, that cost, that covers everyone. I'm sorry, Terry. This covers even the new officers too.
That is correct, and myself included. Everybody in the department will have it, and it will be expected that if you are interacting with somebody, it's going to be on. And that obviously there's certain exclusions to that when it involves children or extremely sensitive things where it wouldn't be appropriate for that, but ultimately the majority of interactions are going to be recorded on these devices. And as I said, we have a policy that is very strict. It's going to stipulate when it is expected to be used.
Okay, thank you.
Terry?
Yeah, so I see that includes the installation. Does it also include support if you do need to, if any is evident, if called in for evidence, for example, does it cover everything?
It does. The Secure Max portion, the cloud-based storage, by us paying these fees per unit, per month, per year, depending on how it's broken down, ultimately that does cover if we have help or we need to get specific things. I think that from what I've been able to see from the demonstration, this is a pretty easy device to access and utilize. But ultimately, if we need the help of an expert or say, for instance, we get ourselves to a situation where we need a piece of evidence downloaded, we'd be able to contact Provision and get some assistance with that.
Okay. And if for some reason we need to terminate or the contract runs out, is there a stipulation that we can get our data back? It's ours?
Yes. The data is ours. This belongs to the township. Ultimately, this would be a five-year plan that we would be signing on with Provision. So ultimately, the 5 years would cover us. And then at that point, we would have to renegotiate just the cloud-based storage or if we needed to improve equipment. But ultimately, if we decide that we want to go in a different direction, we would still have access to the recorded evidence.
Okay. And you're comfortable with this? Provision. I mean, do they represent any sort of insurance policy or protection that if for some reason they're breached, that we're covered for any sort of actions?
You know, and that's something that I would probably have to do a little more research on, in terms of, say, somebody being able to break into their system. They have an excellent reputation. We haven't seen or heard of anything like that, but, you know, certainly I could do some additional research and get you a specific answer on that. But I feel very comfortable based on the requirements of what they've had to go through to in order to gain kind of the reputation as well as the credentialing to be able to do this. So I feel very comfortable with this. I think that the biggest problem that we run into is that we ourselves ultimately don't want to become the repository source. We don't want to be the ones that are responsible for storing the data, and then we have, in essence, unbridled access to it. So it's oversight. And that's mm-hmm. what I really wanted with yeah. the camera program. We're going to do this. And the expense that is I'm asking the board to bear on this, I wanted to make sure that we are really covering all aspects of the credibility.
Yeah, and I think you're thinking about it the right way. If you don't mind, I mean, I'll look at the company, see if they have anything on their site, and might have a couple questions for you to bring to them just regarding if it's cloud-based. There's quite a few certifications that they could present to you to make us comfortable.
Absolutely, and I would be more than happy to do that, Tara.
Sure.
And Chief Maxey, just one more question for me. I'm just curious about record retention, what their policy is. I imagine there's one policy for information that would wind up being necessary for some kind of legal action. But yeah, on a daily basis, you're gathering up lots of data. And at some point, there must be some built in. Yeah, this is probably, yeah, I don't know what the retirement phase is for you gather this data. It's got to have a retention period of some sort, but it can't be, I doubt it's forever, but they probably have a policy in place. I'd just be curious right. to know what that is.
And Dan, the thing is that there's requirements here in Pennsylvania for us that we have to meet in terms of how long we hold on to data, and in terms of if we learn of a situation, say, you know, 3 years down the road. I think that, you know, there's two ways of looking at this. There's the civil implications of liability that we are always trying to mitigate, once again, because that's a cost effective measure for our citizenry. And then there's also the fact of the matter that this is a tool that is ultimately designed to make sure that we have appropriate officer conduct, officer interactions, as well as the fact that if we have a situation where we do, say, have inappropriate contact, we have the ability from an internal affairs standpoint to review that and deal with that at any time that we become aware of it. There's no statute of limitations for that. 2 years is the statute of limitations for most civil actions. But ultimately, I think that we're looking at this as all encompassing. My understanding is that obviously during the 5-year period of time that we would be involved in a contract with Provision, we would be able to have access to things from day one moving forward. In terms of what is the long term, say 10, 15, 20 years, I would have to talk more specifically with Provision about that. You know, my hope would be that as we, in compliance with state standards and regulations, and eventually what I believe will be federal standards, we will be able to dispose of things once they've been reviewed, especially if they have no evidentiary. If it's just a traditional interaction, you don't need to keep that for 10 years. There's just no reason. It's eating up our storage and data.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thanks. Chief, just one more thing. I don't remember whether you mentioned it, but I guess it looks like you will attempt to apply for a grant for $1,500.
And you know what? Thank you. I did forget that. Okay. By being a member of DIVIT, Delaware Valley Trust, we have an opportunity for every year there's monies that become available that we're entitled to apply for, especially if it has to do with risk or liability mitigation. That's roughly $1,500. So that would come off of our total price to transition to this. This is also something that is heavily supported by Divot. So they are very pro police body cameras. This is something that is becoming a standard throughout Montgomery County and even really the Tri-County area in Pennsylvania. So I think in an effort to do the best that we can, as well as utilizing the $1,500 of liability mitigation, this would be a step in the right direction for that. And as I said, I feel very comfortable that $1,500 will be awarded to us. What we will have to do is we will purchase the equipment, and then we will submit for reimbursement with an explanation of our program and what our costs were that we incurred by doing it.
Okay. And I had one last question.
Sure.
Maybe others will have questions too. Regarding the cloud storage, I noticed that it's 100 gigabytes of storage, and that's per user, right?
Per user, correct, yes.
I assume that they've indicated that's sufficient amount.
Based on their research and some standards that have been set forth, I mean, this is a fourth generation camera system that we are purchasing. So as time is going on, you know, I would be a little more leery or a little more concerned if we were looking at a product that was first or even maybe say second generation. Mm-hmm. But this is something that has evolved, and they have improved it. And they feel, and that was one of the questions when I was talking specifically with the sales representative, you know, and they said that for an agency, and based on our call volume, our size, our interactions, that should be more than sufficient for us.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Chief Maxey?
No, I don't have a question. I just want to say thank you for being proactive and going ahead with this. It's really important.
Yes, thank you.
So do we need to vote, or just do we need to just...
Well, I think Terry indicated he would like to have the opportunity to look into a few things.
From a time sensitivity, Chief, is this... a lot of things I can do, it can be pretty quick in the next couple of days if we want to.
That's fine. You know, yeah. I mean, if maybe pending the satisfactory results from, we can look into the security end of this. And if you're comfortable with that, then maybe the board members would permit us to move forward.
Yeah. If that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
So then we would vote next month. Is that?
No, the chief is suggesting that we, in our vote, we say, we approve the purchase pending the satisfactory completion of Terry's look into their security.
Good. Okay. That's fine by me if it's all right with the rest of the board to go that way.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that.
That way it'll avoid any delay unless Terry comes up with something, then there will be a delay.
And then if that's the case, I'll come back. You know, I'll talk with Terry, and we'll see if this is something that we can work with. And if not, I'll come back with another.
Chief, I'm assuming the overall plan is to have this all in place when the new people.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
I really want to have it rolled out because there is going to be some training. I'm going to need to go over policy with the officers as well as the new personnel. And I really want to get it out on the street, especially, you know, for the warmer weather when typical interactions, that's when they occur.
Got it. All right. I think we understand. So we have a motion to approve the purchase of the, what is this system called?
Pro Vision.
Pro Vision body camera set up for a total cost of what?
$61.50?
Well, it's a 5-year contract. So the total is, according to what I'm looking at here, is $16,475. That's a 5-year.
That would be with the 5-year contract. That's
5-year contract.
But we would only be required for the first year up front, and then the other ones would be paid yearly.
But we would be committing
to satisfactory review of the company by Terry.
Right. Pending a satisfactory review of the company's security protocols by Supervisor Bird. I'll make that motion.
I will second it.
Chuck Yizer makes the motion. Noel Halter seconds. Is there any further discussion? All in favor of approving the purchase commitment for the SecureMax video equipment, say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you again, Chief.
Hey, thank you very much. I really appreciate the continued support. This is going to help us tremendously.
So Mark, that brings us to public comment. I know we have some.
Yep.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. You guys can hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, yes.
Okay, I'm Steve Tevis at 106 Bethana Drive in Schwanksville, Pennsylvania. We have a issue that's been going on for many years, and Officer Moore had instructed me to meet with you guys to review the issue. We have a neighbor who constantly, every weekend, and many other days, plays loud music, which is directed toward our development. That address is at 4 Mine Hill Road. And Chief Maxey has, we've talked about this before, but it's becoming a nuisance that every weekend we should be able to, as residents, go outside and enjoy the peace and quiet without hearing this loud bass music all afternoon long. If it was once in a while, that would be fine, but it's every weekend, ongoing all through the warm weather. As a matter of fact, it started on set this past Saturday. We had a 50-degree day, loud music as soon as you go outside. My suggestion is to review what Lower Salford had put together for their ordinance for noise. I don't know if Mark Hudson had shared that with you guys. But they have a pretty comprehensive plan that would at least enable our officers to be able to do something more over and above what the current ordinance states, which is not much. So my question, or for your consideration, is would you take a look at that Lower Salford ordinance and see if we can apply something for Lower Frederick?
Chief, do you have anything to add about this? I guess since your department has been involved.
Yeah, we have been involved with Mr. Tevis here, and I certainly understand his concerns. We've had at least, I believe, two phone conversations. We have had an officer go out. I know that we have spoken with the gentleman that owns the property that is involved with this. Our current chapter 95 of our ordinances, noise under the prohibited acts, I mean, it gives us some definitions as to the specifics. And then there is a table which references decibel levels. Mm-hmm. In these circumstances, we really try to just get some sort of compliance or request some sort of compliance from the homeowner. I think that my understanding is that he feels as though he's operating within his rights. And I think that that's where really where we're at question over this entire situation. I think that there's maybe some other options at our disposal that we could discuss. I think that any time that we look to improve ordinances, I think we need to speak with council about that and get Peter's direction on whether he feels that this is a good thing, because I get very uncomfortable, and I don't mean to take away from Mr. Tevis's stamina here, because I appreciate him coming to talk to us, but ordinances historically do not do well standing the litmus test of county court. And what I mean by that is because we get outside of the confines of our county, outside of the confines of our township and our general area, and it goes down to a judge in the Court of Common Pleas who is trying to apply case law and standards set forth. And it can be really challenging for ordinances. I really try as the police chief to come up with alternatives to taking action under ordinances. Certain ordinances are a little bit easier, but when the police are involved and we start taking that enforcement action, the threshold moves up on us really being able to prove that these are rock solid constitutionally as well as just practically, from a practicality standpoint. And I just think that maybe we should take a look at this, and I'm more than happy to continue to work with Mr. Tevis. I want him to feel as though he has my full attention, which he does on this. But I do have some other suggestions maybe before we go to enacting an additional ordinance, but I would be more than happy to discuss with Peter and Mark and then come back and report to the board on the Lower Salford ordinance that has been provided. If somebody has a boilerplate that would work well for us, I'm not opposed to that, but I just would like to get some legal counsel from Peter before we commit to anything. And I think out of fairness to Mr. Tevis, I don't want to make a promise to him that I can't come through with.
Chief, this is Marla. Is there anything under public nuisance that would apply here? Does it have to be noise?
Well, no. I mean, you know, if we move this there, and in I've had experience with the application of state statute under Title 18, disorderly conduct. It's referred to as almost like a coverall charge in the less, and I'm using that term ad lib, but the reality is that there would be provisions under that specific section that could be applied. We traditionally try to utilize the time as being a critical piece to this. We were in court a few years ago with an ordinance issued and noise ordinance over barking dogs. And I can tell you that the judge in the Court of Common Pleas was not the least bit interested in the specifics of our ordinance. It was the time that was involved. He was looking for that 10 o'clock to kind of 6 a.m. where it is unilaterally considered to be hours of peace and rest. And, you know, once we were able to establish that time, that's where we were able to get enforcement from the court. But, you know, we do have a couple different things at our disposal. We could deviate away from our ordinance and go with Title 18, which is a state statute. But once again, I just think that maybe we could also try to broker some sort of an agreement with the property owner that is actually doing this.
Chief, is there anything, I mean, I've looked at Salford's ordinance, mm-hmm. and I've looked at ours, and I see a lot of the same language.
Correct. They are similar to a certain extent. I think that, you know, I think that Peter, I don't want to speak for Peter, but I think Peter would say the same thing. It's very hard to write law to address every specific scenario or situation. So you try to use fair and reasonable broad brushstroke. I don't think that there's anything terrible about our ordinance. I just think that once again, it becomes applicability. You know, we need to obviously be able to, from an evidentiary standpoint, prove this beyond a reasonable doubt if he's going to be convicted of a crime, or at least preponderance of the evidence under a civil matter. But I think that without offending Mr. Tevis, I really would like maybe to be given some time to work with Peter and Mark and see if we could come up with not only a solution to his specific problem, but also come back with some better recommendations to the board on our specific ordinance.
All right. Okay. I mean, yeah, I saw really the same, both ordinances, in my opinion, had the same basic elements in terms of identifying appropriate times. The limits for decibels were different, but that's because they're expressed differently in the two ordinances.
Correct.
And you have to recognize you don't add decibels the way you add regular numbers.
Correct.
So if you actually take into account what's accepted as the common background sound level for a residential neighborhood, which is about 45 decibels, and then you add, they specify it can't be 15 above that, it actually all mathematically kind of works out to the same number of, what do we have, 60 or so?
60.
45 plus 15, and then, but they add logarithmically. So I think it's all saying the same thing. It's just said using different math, different language.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I would agree. I don't see Lower Salford's ordinance as like some panacea. Looking at our ordinance quickly, I don't see any major problems with it. I actually think it might be a little easier to enforce because it's giving us a flat level 60 maximum limit, as opposed to having to measure, first measure the background noise and then show that the complaint of noise is then 15 decibels above that. But I agree, you know, that I just heard about this week. I think this is something that the chief, Mark, and I should discuss and ponder, and then perhaps come back to the board if we think an ordinance revision is appropriate. I also agree with the chief's suggestion that I think the best way to deal with this initially is to try to talk to the offender and, you know, see if we can, you know, reason with that person to try to limit what is going on there in the neighborhood, as opposed to dragging them to court. Okay. That, you know, if we can work something out, that's probably going to be a quicker resolution to the problem, a more permanent resolution to the problem, and hopefully won't result in a Hatfield and McCoy's situation in this neighborhood.
I'm open for anything you can do, but, you know, we've tried many things in the past. And there are times when I can be inside my house and I can hear this. So it gets louder at times.
Mr. Tevis, can I, this is the chief. Can I just ask you a question? Is it the bass reverb that you're hearing? Is that because you're saying inside
the
house?
That is the main problem, the bass reverb.
Do you feel that he has, and please forgive me, I haven't specifically heard this. I mean, does he have his system set up like that? I mean, is this a high powered system that he's playing?
I don't know what system he has, but he has those outdoor speakers.
Okay.
That for some reason turn on automatically, I guess, because there's no one outside half the time when they're on.
That's bizarre. And I think that that's something that is well within our right to ask him to fix that. I mean, he needs to be there and, in my opinion, monitoring the level and, if necessary, have the ability to, you know, intervene on his own behalf. But that's kind of bizarre how he has that set up like that. I think we need to specifically ask him some questions about his system.
Well, it seems like it's always on. That he can go walk up the street in the middle of the winter and you'll hear music coming from his house.
Okay.
It's all the time. Well, now, it's not always that loud, but
But generally, it's during the daytime, sir, not late at night.
Generally, well, it's usually all afternoon into the evening is when he's outside doing his whatever he's doing, and that it turns on, and the rest of our residents have to have no choice but listen to it. And weekend on every day of the weekend when we're home resting from work, right, it gets very annoying.
Mr. Tevis, have your neighbors, have they spoken with you? I mean, is this like a general problem in the whole neighborhood? I mean,
the situation is with the alignment of the properties. His house is 100 yards away from mine. His back porch is oriented so it points right at my house where the speakers are directed. So I'm taking the brunt of whatever noise there is.
Okay. All right.
This is Chuck Geiser, Mr. Tevis. I assume that you've had some dialogue with this neighbor about it.
I have. He feels it's his right to do whatever he wants.
Okay. And there's no homeowners association in that neighborhood or anything that.
Well, that's a good question, because originally there was. I don't know if that was ever dissolved or who's even in charge of it, if there is.
Yeah, I mentioned that because I know there's community open space in that area. I wasn't sure how that's being handled.
I currently do not know at this time.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Tevis, I don't want to have you go away tonight without feeling as though you're being heard. So if I think that with the board's direction, myself, Peter, and the manager will get together. We'll do some brainstorming, and I will give you a call back and let you know what we're doing, what direction we're going in, at least as it relates to trying to approach your neighbor and see if we can get a happy medium for everybody involved here.
Okay. Appreciate anything you can do.
Sure. Absolutely. Thank
you.
Sir.
All right. Thanks. Thank you for bringing this to us, to our attention, Mr. Tevis. Mm-hmm. Mark, is there any other public comment tonight?
Oh, sorry. Too many windows open. Nope, I'm not seeing anything.
Great. The motion for adjournment.
I'll say move.
Noel Halter makes the motion. The second.
Second.
Terry Bird seconds. All in favor, say aye.
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 Good night.
Good night.
Take care. Be safe, everyone.